So I would like to have Mr. Harris, if you could introduce the next item. And I'd like to mention to our board members, too, that after the presentation, I do have one speaker card for this specific item number 6.
So the next item is what we added to our last couple of board meetings. We now provide the board an update on drought activities in the region that we are participating in. And Lisa is our lead on drought. So I'll turn it over to Lisa, and I may have a couple of comments to add when she's done.
I didn't actually prepare a presentation, but I'm here for any questions of what's in the staff report. But I did want to say a couple things by way of introduction and update to the item. One is I wanted to thank Board Member Moore because he covered several of the same items that are in this report and a few that were not in this report, and he actually brought you up to date. I was actually going to mention some of the things that are in here, for example, about legislation that is now signed. Now you know the status of those, so I don't have to cover those. I want to take a quick tangent and let Dr. Hunter and other board members know that the triennial review of the basin plan, which that item will be coming before you in November, has an issue for your consideration in the list of priorities about ocean protection and addresses specifically the possibility of new standards where there might be gaps. So just be aware of that. Back to the drought report, I wanted to also mention about the positions that Eric Ekdahl is one of the new staff people in the unit in Sacramento, and he is going to be here. I don't know, maybe he's here now. Okay, not here yet. He contacted us and said he'd like to come to this meeting, particularly related to the fact that we obviously have some groundwater basin issues, Los Osos, for example, and other in the drought report. So he's going to be here tomorrow. So there already is active coordination between that unit and regional boards. I was just going to go through the headings and add a couple, update items, that things that have happened where you the report left you hanging somewhere that is no longer the current status. So under, you already heard about the passage of the legislation, under activities, I'm on page 3 of the item, Water Board General Activities Related to Drought. Second paragraph talks about 2014 IRWM drought grant solicitation. And the Pajaro IRWM project was fully funded, and the Santa Barbara project was partially funded, and those are the only two of our 6 areas that are recommended for funding. So those will be proposed for the state board to, I'm sorry, for DWR to approve. We received a couple comments in response to issues related to Cambria situation, but they're specific to the permits. And those permits, the staff report says that staff's next steps will be to review and consider drafting the permits. Those permits have been drafted and are out on the street, I think, right now. Yes, correct? Yeah, so those have already been posted for public review. So those comments are more appropriate to the specifics of the permits and less about the generic information that's in this staff report. Similarly, I just wanted to mention with Los Osos, we have an item which we decided to do after publication of this report that is specific to the groundwater basin update. That's item 19. And then you heard about Santa Barbara, the permit situation has advanced there as well. So that's on the last page of the drought staff report. And that's all I wanted to say right now.
So I'll add a couple of things. As Lisa mentioned, actually we have responsibility for 4 permits for Los Osos, Title 27 for their RO reject water. That permit is out on the street. Title 22 for reinjection of the the clean water back into their groundwater basin. That is also out on the street. We're waiting for an application for 401, and also we have to deal with what is called their filter backwash, and we are trying to work with them to try to figure out how we are going to permit that. When we were talking about fees, one of the things I wanted to bring up, I mentioned how much time we had put in for the 401 for certification for Salinas. On this project, the drought, for example, we have about 9 staff working on this, 2 full-time and then 7 other of us who are involved in different levels. And the reason is because it's an emergency project. We're trying to cram about 18 months worth of work into 3 or 4 months. We have been putting a tremendous, tremendous effort into working with a very small community of Cambria who has limited resources to deal with, you know, regulatory requirements and other things. So we've been putting out a lot of effort for them. These permits are going to come to you in November for your approval. If for some reason we cannot bring them to you in November, we will be asking you to convene an emergency meeting to adopt the permits. Latest information on the drought I saw was it's likely that rain will be below normal for October, November, which does not bode well for Cambria. Although I did get a text message this morning saying that it was raining in Northern California. It started raining in San Francisco yesterday, and now it's moved into the valley, so it's good. That certainly will help with the King fire. On Santa Barbara, we'll have someone during public forum who's going to talk during Santa Barbara about Santa Barbara, and that item will come before you at the January board meeting in Santa Barbara, and we are working also with state board staff on that. And by the way, on the Cambria, we are working closely with the Division of Drinking Water, who has a role in the Title 22 permit, as well as the Division of Water Rights, who has been dealing with water rights change requests that are coming from Cambria. So it's absorbing a lot of resources.
Yeah, and on that topic, Mr. Harris, you know, you and I have communicated closely on the status of Cambria, because from what I think the latest projections, where they have only a couple of months left of water available. But I'd like to commend you on your leadership here of basically reorganizing tasks for the staff in order to be able to round up, you know, eight of our staff to work on this project. And of course, the consequence of that is that some other projects have been put aside. So, you know, that certainly is going to have an impact at the end of the year when we look at our report card of some of our activities. You know, we had to reprioritize and let certain things slide. But this is clearly an emergency. And the other observation I made is that I think this is a case where, you know, as a regulatory agency, we saw a need to help. We could have said, this is not our responsibility, so just give us the information. But we basically became proactive in trying to help out the district because we have such a intricate and good knowledge of the rules, the regulations, the permitting process. So, you know, I certainly want to commend you and staff for, you know, helping Cambria getting out of this emergency situation.
And I appreciate you recognizing that our performance at the end of the year is going to take a hit, and certainly if the drought continues, it'll take a further hit. Santa Barbara is another example where we pulled a staff person off the work they were doing so that he can now work full-time with State Board on what has to be done for Santa Barbara, because, as you know, if we're going to get to the January meeting, if you start backing up all of our deadlines, our noticing requirements, et cetera, I'm trying to remember, Harvey, maybe you could remind me. I think it's before October 15th, we have to have the draft of the permit revisions out on the street for public comment. So we're, yeah, burning the midnight oil to try to get this stuff done in the time frame that we have to do it.
Thank you. Council?
I just want to have a friendly reminder that the permit for Cambria is a pending permit, and it is subject to ex parte restrictions, so board members should not be having any discussions with anyone regarding that permit. The Santa Barbara permit is considered an impending permit, and I can talk more about that later once we get into public comment, but you should also not be having ex parte communications on that as well.
Thank you for the friendly reminder. Yes, Mr. Johnston.
Just on the good news front, Ms. McCann mentioned that one of the two projects in the district that was recommended for state IRWIM funding was a set of projects in the Pajaro Valley. And I just want to run through those real quickly because I think they're of interest to people. There's $2.2 million in there for San Benito County Water District to expand their recycled water use project. A recycled water pipeline, $121,000 for South Santa Clara County, Santa Clara Water District. A $500,000 for a program that's a joint program of the Central Coast Ag Water Coalition and the Santa Cruz County RCD to perform irrigation system evaluations, grower trainings of on-farm performance monitoring, and grower surveys to measure impacts. $3.6 million for an expansion of that Pajaro Valley recycled water pipeline that takes sewage water from Watsonville and recycles it and uses it in place of groundwater irrigation along the bluffs between Watsonville and Moss Landing. And finally, all of those are funded at 75%. The projects have to come up with 25% matching funds. And finally, $6.3 million to the city of Watsonville for their Coralitos filter plant project, which is going to increase drinking water supplies and reduce groundwater pumping and enhance fisheries. That's full funding because it's a critical drinking water supply project for a disadvantaged community. So I am really sure we can count on the support of our state board liaison here when all this comes before the state board.
Duly noted, Mr. Moore.
Is that IRWIM funding? What's the? Then that's not us. That's DWR. I guess.
Oh, that's DWR. Okay. Well, but I knew we could count on you if it came before you.
All right. Thank
maybe
you.
He can walk a couple blocks down and buy somebody lunch or something.
All right. Before moving to the next item, we do have two speaker cards, and I would like for. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Hunter, and then we'll have our speakers. Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you so much. I hope these are quick questions to Lisa. Lisa, I have three questions for you, starting on page three at the bottom. The comment, I guess it would be considered general activities. The comment regarding the reduction of watering applied to residential uses, well, businesses, municipalities, and so forth, aren't having the same kinds of required reduction. And, you know, I'm one of those people that just cringes when I drive down the street and the sprinklers are going in the middle of the day and it's mostly hitting the pavement and going into the gutter and into the stormwater drain. And I know everybody in this room has seen that at least a number of times every week. So what's the deal with that? Are we moving in the right direction there?
I can tell you what we're doing. I hope we're moving in the right direction. The responsibility for getting after that relies with the purveyors now, the water suppliers under the current emergency regulations that Mr. Moore mentioned, conservation measures that Mr. Moore mentioned during his report. So what we do and what we're telling people who complain to us about these things do is to call the water supplier and say irrigation water, runoff water, residential use water is being overused and is inconsistent with the regulations, and because they also have the responsibility. It authorizes them to find folks who continue to do that. Okay. We also are asking people or encouraging people to go to the complaint form, fill out the complaint form, which then goes to water rights in Sacramento so that I can then coordinate with our water rights regulatory folks And they're looking at those as much to find out what kinds of complaints are happening, even in areas where they can't respond or it's not priority to respond, so that they can gather information about, you know, where the different overuses or problems might be.
And we don't we have a link also on our website to file complaints?
A couple different ones.
We actually have an example in Los Osos where Harvey, Mr. Packard, got a email or a call, and he replied to the individual that that's the responsibility of the supplier, but that he would contact him. He did, and the supplier said, oh, thank you, but we already know about it, and so there was communication, and they knew about it, and we're going to take care of it.
Yeah, good to hear, and I think opening up those channels of communication and getting the word out about who has what authority and who has responsibility for making these changes. These are not easily done, especially with the business kind of landscaping issues, but hopefully those will change over time. The second one is on the next page, has to do with the issue of stormwater, the general permit, and projects that require landscaping and vegetation for erosion control. What do we know about that here in our region?
Really, what we know is that sites have complained to our staff basically when they've proposed requesting to be terminated from the construction general permit coverage when staff didn't find that they had met the terms. The criteria for termination in this case mostly related to establishment of vegetation for erosion control. There's been statewide coordination on that and affirmation, if you will, or concurrence that they have to stay enrolled in the permit, and they might be able to do something alternative or.
That's what I was wondering, if any alternative approaches to stabilization have surfaced, or if you're aware that the organizations, folks that have the technical support skills are looking at this and trying to figure out what we can do.
I don't actually know the answer to that. I don't know if Dominic or Phil are in the room.
Dominic
about that.
Hi, Dominic Rock with the Central Coast Water Board. The alternatives to full vegetation or 70% vegetative cover include, you know, physical, structural fixes like geotextiles and grids, you know, plastic grids. And we actually, at our water board, try to discourage those because they are unnatural products, and their ultimate fate in the environment is not well managed in typical projects. So we don't forbid them necessarily, but there have been occasions where we would not accept the alternative to 70% cover and have deferred the judgment or the termination to a time when there is more water coming out of the sky.
Right.
And we can actually see what natural vegetative response looks like.
Yeah, so not likely to be, erosion is probably not a problem if you're not seeing a lot of rain.
Yeah.
So you can postpone some of those deadlines.
Yeah, of course, every site's specific to the conditions there. And so, you know, high slopes, different kinds of situations could lead us to accept an alternative. We wouldn't want a big first rain event to mobilize sediment. So we take a lot of that into consideration. But at this point, the alternatives that are out there, which are known and well attempted and tried in other places, aren't our preference. So.
Okay. Well, case by case. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
And then the last comment is just, ties in with Mr. Moore's comment on desalination and discharge for existing plants, and Santa Barbara being one of them. And I just wanted to comment, and I don't know if any staff is in the room that were part of the review of the Morro Bay renewal of their small desalination plant. And at that time, I called out the fact that the original permit was based on the combined discharge of the power plant, the existing once through cooling power plant, which no longer functions, and the idea that Morro Bay then would be discharging a higher concentration of brine into the marine environment. And so we were able to add a condition to the permit that there would be monitoring because of the distance from shore. The design of the original infrastructure of that was based on the idea that it would be somewhat diluted with power plant discharge. So there is one small step there in terms of a monitoring of the impacts of salinity, increased salinity, especially in these existing systems, which were never designed to recognize what we know now about where in the water column that brine can best be dispersed, given the ocean currents, and in this case, a concern that the ocean currents wrap around the Morro Rock and come back into the bay and into the estuary. And so those were questions we posed at the time, and we added that condition. So one small component here that we're looking at, maybe we'll resurface with Santa Barbara, I'm not sure.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. So I do have a couple of speaker cards, and would like first to invite San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisor member, Mr. Bruce Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Bruce Gibson, Second District Supervisor for the County of San Luis Obispo. And first, I want to thank your staff for their extraordinary efforts on behalf of my constituents in Cambria. As your board's no doubt aware, the emergency water supply project there is being put forward by the Cambria Community Services District, over which I have no direct authority. But I can assure you that the county is working very closely on the land use permitting for this project, which raises a lot of very important issues, among them the ones your board staff brings forward. And we're committed to working cooperatively and in concert with your staff to get these issues resolved and get this very important project in place. Indeed, this is a huge project for a small CSD. The other point I'd like to make is that in the draft recommendations for funding under the Prop 84 IRWM grant program, there were five projects put forward by the county that were not recommended for funding. That includes $3.5+ million for the Cambria project. Our staff has been working to correct this egregious mistake made by the staff of DWR, and we're hopeful that as we get toward final funding decisions, that significant reconsideration is going to be had on this, on these very important items. We would hope, to the extent that it's appropriate, that we might enlist the support of your board in our efforts to get funding for a number of very important drought-related projects in our county. And I thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Our next speaker card is Mr. Jeff Edward, 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman Wolf. Good morning, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a longtime resident of Los Osos. And while I did not intend to speak on this item this morning, I did want to take the opportunity to perhaps help frame the discussion for tomorrow's agenda item number 19, which is the Los Osos groundwater basin. Droughts are cyclical, and they come and go. Unfortunately, that's not the primary problem in Los Osos. Our groundwater basin suffers primarily from mismanagement, and this goes back decades. Most recently, the mismanagement has been compounded by the fact that when the wastewater project went forward in 2007, water was uncoupled from wastewater, and here we are today. We have a basin management plan, as your staff report indicates. It's been out for over a year. Numerous comments were made, yet we have heard no response from the participants, namely the water purveyors. The county has not been helpful at all. They've provided no direction, no leadership. And that's why I'm here today, in part, is to ask for your leadership and your help. I mentioned we have a basin plan. We also have an entity, in effect. And unfortunately, we can't wait till 2017. We need to do something now. The irony is that the wastewater treatment facility, the recycled water facility, is under construction. And in fact, there's a tour this evening that many of you may be coming to, and I hope you do. I would invite you. The irony is that that facility, once completed, will be generating a significant amount, almost 1 million gallons per day of treated effluent. The problem is we don't know how to beneficially use that water, and that goes back to this decoupling of water and wastewater. We don't know where to put our treated effluent. That's a problem. We have one location at the Broderson site, which you may be familiar with, is supposed to take virtually all of the treated effluent, 85%. We have other beneficial uses that are potential solutions to the issue. One is a surface water discharge, a seasonal surface water discharge during the summertime when Los Osos Creek is dry. The hydrogeology of our basin indicates that the lower basin, the Paso Robles Formation, daylights at the creek bottom in upper reaches of the creek. So this is a natural. The treatment site is approximately 1 mile away from this location. Very inexpensive project. So tomorrow I'll look forward to continuing this discussion with your board, and hopefully we can take the discussion tomorrow and go somewhere with it, because we really have been struggling, and hopefully we'll get some direction tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.